certainly enjoyed our time at the meeting, and I got some help for my family, and I trust you have too. Book of Revelation, the book of the Revelation this morning. Chapter 1. Just a very simple thought to you this morning. Probably won't even be that long. I'm sure that my wife will preach a lot longer than I will back there. But she taught me everything I know. We'll go ahead and read. I'm going to read the first chapter, if y'all can. I think you can bear 20 verses of the Lord's Word this morning with us for Sunday school, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll jump in this morning. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel and his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and in his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Well, Lord, I am thankful to be together with these men today. Lord, thankful for this church again, Lord. We do praise you, Lord. Magnify your name for what we've heard and seen these last few days we've been together here in the house of God, Lord. We're thankful most of all for the sweet Spirit of God that's moved and spoken to our heart. Lord, for every song that's lifted you up and glorified you, Lord. Lord, I pray that the work that's beginning to be done in our hearts, Lord, Lord, in our homes would continue, Lord. May this not just be a few days of revival or service that just ends, Lord, but just a spark, Lord, that starts the flame that grows in our hearts, Lord, a desire. Draw us closer to you, Lord, and appoint our homes closer to you, Father. Lord, I pray you'll bless now this time, Lord. Thank you for this book of the revelation that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the blessing that comes, Lord, just for reading it, Lord. And I pray you'll bless us now this morning for just a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most people love to hear about the book of the Revelations. Exciting things. You can have a small crowd and you announce you're teaching on the book of Revelations. People show up and they'll show up to argue, or they'll show up to fight, or they'll show up because they're excited about it. But everybody wants to hear about it. And you know what? It is a blessed book, and we see that here in the text. The Bible even says there in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And it's exciting because it's not just a fairy tale. We know that. Amen. The Lord gives us a little glimpse of the things that are about to happen. And we believe we're very close. Amen. I believe of the seven churches, we're right there in the end. We're the church of the Laodicea. And I believe we're firmly in that age. I believe we're the church that's gonna be right here when the Lord comes back. I believe you find us checking out here in chapter 4. And I believe that's not far away. Amen. But this morning I got a simple thought for you. The Lord gave us out of this text of chapter 1 this morning, and I'll give you here in just a moment. Let's review just these few verses and get to our thought this morning. You know, I love that the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. My book, you know, it's your book, but mine says on the top of the page, the revelation of Saint John the Divine. Right? It's in John's revelation. Amen. The Lord let John see this, but this is the revelation. I mean, it just says right there under there, so whoever typed that wasn't too bright. I ain't gonna say that. They probably weren't from Mississippi because we would have got that right. Anyway, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is His unveiling. This is of Jesus Christ. This is from God to us. Amen. He's given us a glimpse of the things and some to excite us and stir our hearts to see what is to come. And for some that don't know it, maybe it fills their hearts with fear even to see what's coming in the days ahead. We look around and we say, it's a mess. Hey, we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Thank God, like Brother Earl saying, I'll be gone. Amen. I'll be gone, but some things are here to come. And we know when we read this book, we find that out. But of all the things that we look, and everybody wants to know about the judgments and the seals and the vials, and they want to talk about the beast, but this book isn't about that. This book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about Him. It's about Him who John saw, and we'll look at it in just a minute. It's about Him who he saw sitting on the throne. It's all about Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants the things which must shortly come to pass. He gave this thing to John there. And John was able to record the things which he saw. The Bible tells us there in verse number 3, I told you that there's even a blessing just for reading this book. A blessing for reading and hearing these words. But I love that little phrase at the end of verse number 3, for the time is at hand. Amen. In John's day when he wrote it even, he believed that the time was at hand. The Apostle Paul preached that the time was at hand. And hey, the tear today, we're still preaching the time's at hand, folks. Amen. We're closer than we were yesterday. And if God gives us one more day, we'll be that much closer. And we say it, and you know, I just love it because we've heard it preached, and I've heard it preached since I was a child. We're saying Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming. And how many times have you heard a preacher say this may be the last message or the last moment? But hey, it could be boom right now, any moment. I mean, in the twinkling of an eye. These days is going to be the last time. And Brother Andrew's going to stand the last Sunday and say, I believe the Lord. Boom. Out of here. Out of here just in a blink, in a twinkling, faster in a blink, in a twinkling of an eye, because the time is at hand. It's the time is at hand for the Lord to come. It's the time is at hand for us to read and to study this book. Amen. And to prepare our hearts and to prepare our homes and to prepare the church for the things that are coming. We understand that we do believe that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation, but we do also understand that we do live in perilous times, and no doubt the closer we get to that day, the closer we get to the day of the coming of the Son of Man, the closer we get to as it was in the days of Noah, we understand that the world's going to get worse and worse. Amen? The question is, how bad is it going to get before we get out of here? I don't know. And hopefully it's today. If it's not, it's another 5 years, 10 years. Hey, we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to learn to dig in and trust God and contend for the faith and stand upon the Word of God and believe just like Noah. Amen. That, hey, it's coming. God made him a promise and he said, build an ark, and hey, the rain's coming. And rest assured, the Lord's coming. The time is at hand. Then he begins to introduce here the seven churches. He's writing this letter to the seven churches. And we understand that, as I said, we believe we're in the age of the church of Laodicea. And so we know this is written to us. Amen. It's written to us. He's got, we've got verses in here that we know that we can talk about, all those things that apply to us particularly. Of course, we know all the scripture is given and is profitable, but, there's particular things that's, which were really applicable to which the day and age which we live in. And Paul's writing that here, John is writing that here, and he says he's written with grace and peace. John to the seven churches in verse 4, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is. You know, when you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, grace and peace comes with it. Amen. Hey, I don't have to look ahead with fear and terror for the things that come because I know Jesus. Amen. When I get a little glimpse of Jesus, it's always that grace and that peace comes with it. The grace of God that lets us know because we put our faith and trust in Him, I'm not facing the days that are ahead. The days of terror, the days like they've never been on this earth. When I have that peace that kind of passes that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And He writes that letter in the churches and He writes it. He says, grace be unto you and peace. But then verse number 5, I really like that. We're getting to our text. Our text will be verse number 10, but excuse me. But verse number 5, it begins to introduce who He is. Amen. And we read that. I just liked reading it a while ago. Amen. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. This is God's letter. Jesus' letter to you. Hey, he said, who is this that's writing this letter? Who is this that He's revealing? Let's get a little glimpse of who He is. He's Jesus Christ. He's that faithful witness. He's that first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. Who is He? By the way, He's the one that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's who it is that we're talking about this morning. Why do we gather on a Sunday morning? Why do we spend Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning church? Because of Jesus. Amen? Because we wanted to come and see Him and we wanted to get in His presence because He's the one that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen? How can I not love Him today? How can I not want to spend some time with Him? How could I not want to be in His house on the Lord's day? That's who He was. Look at verse number 6. And He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'll never forget, my dad's probably no doubt told you the story of a man in our church named, my mind just went blank. Ain't that crazy? Donald Westbrook. And Donald was a man that was a tough man, a renowned sinner in the community. He was a mean man. I know my dad's told you probably. But Donald got saved. He came to church one day. He worked with my dad at the Batesville Casket Company. When we started the church, my dad was an electrician. He switched and took a third shift job so we could have church services and visit during the day. And then he worked at night. And Lord let him do that to start the church. We worked with Donald. And I'll tell you a story real quick to get to the quick point. But anyways, Donald, my dad had witnessed to him many times at work. And Donald was a man that's, I don't know, he was probably 6'8", maybe. He's bigger, a lot bigger than I am, and twice as big as I am. I'm pretty big. And he was a mountain of a man. And my dad witnessed to him. And finally, Donald said, hey, that's enough. He put his finger on my dad's nose. He said, you don't talk to me anymore about that Jesus. And my dad and my dad said, well, I may not talk to you, but I'm gonna pray for you. He said, yo, you don't even pray for me. He said, well, you can't tell me who I'm gonna pray for or not. He said, Donald, I'm gonna pray for you every day. And so they went on, they worked, and no problem. All of a sudden we looked up one day and during the Sunday service, here comes Donald in the back of the church. This guy's a biker looking guy. He always had this leather vest on, he always had this ugly look on his face, and sits down in the back row and he just sits there like this. Church gets over and comes to my dad, he says, you be here tomorrow morning at 9:00. It's like a cowboy movie, you know. He's like calling him out. So I'm telling my dad, I said, you want me to be here? You want me to back you up? He said, no, I'll be all right, son. And O'Donnell, next morning, here he comes, 9:00. Marches up there, walks up to my dad, and by the time he gets to me, he just breaks down. Tears start falling, and Donald like melts like a teddy bear. I need to get saved. And he got saved by the grace of God. Well, Donald fell in love with Jesus and began to work around the church and do everything. We were just building the church in those days and I mean, did everything. The world helped start our first website. And I remember he laid the floor in the fellowship hall, just all kind of things. And everybody that knew him at the church just thought he was the greatest guy they ever met. They didn't realize, I mean, he was really, before that, you wouldn't even want to be around him. But anyway, it wasn't long after that Donald died and went to heaven. But I'll never forget, one day he was reading this. Everything was brand new to him, never been in church. And he was reading this text right here about being made priests and kings. And man, he come to church that day. This guy, I mean, I'd never seen nobody so excited. It was like the greatest news he ever read. Hey, Brother Tim, he believed, look, you see what this says? I'm a priest. I'm a king. You know, he just thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever seen. Hey, why don't we think it's the greatest thing? Amen. He said that he have made us kings and priests unto God. Amen. Not little king of an empire, but unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. And I always think of that verse. I think about Donald and how excited he was and what a testimony he has. I could tell you more about it. He died in a miraculous way and was a great testimony of goodness of God all the way to the, till they put him in the grave. But, I believe he really filled that role. He was a priest and a king unto God, and he gave God glory and dominion forever. He says in verse number 7, "Behold, he cometh." Amen. I love the King James Bible. You know it. I love that TH on there. Amen. He cometh. Amen. He's on the way. He's coming. He didn't coming. He's not coming. He cometh. Amen. It's present, but it's right now. It's happening. He's coming. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse number 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Who is he? He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Lord, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's who He is. See, John, write down what you see. Write down this revelation of who I am. I am that Alpha. I am that Omega. I am the Lord. I am Him, which is and which was, which is to come. And then John tells us in verse number 9, "I, John, also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So now we get a little information on John and where he's at. We realize he wrote this book, no doubt in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he tells you why he was there. He was put there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now let's get to our text this morning and give you the thought the Lord gave me. The Bible says in verse 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as it was a trumpet." I want to just think about for just a minute about three things about being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. Here John was alone, no doubt, probably on the Isle of Patmos. And here it was, the Lord's day. Now, I don't know what you think about what the Lord's day was, but I believe the Lord's day was the Lord's day. Amen. I believe it might have been the first day of the week. I mean, I believe John somehow, I don't know, he had a calendar. He was marking it off on a tree or on a coconut. I don't know what he was doing, but John was keeping time. But he wrote down, this day was the Lord's day, and this day he was in the Spirit. If we apply it kind of the day and weeks we live in, then John was prepared to meet with God. And I wonder how many times I come to the house of God in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. Sometimes we come to the house of God on the Lord's day hoping that the preacher will preach and help us get in the Spirit. Oh, but what a difference it would make if we came to the house of God already excited and prayed up and prepared and we're ready. We were in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. I'm still thankful that this is the Lord's day. Amen. Brother Daniel mentioned it yesterday, and this isn't a day for anything else. I thank God I was raised the same way. My dad to this day, we have an early service. I know they all got a little different schedule here, but sometimes once every now and then during the year, we might have a service like that where we don't have an afternoon and like Thanksgiving or something. I say, man, I'm thinking about maybe I'll go hunting this afternoon. My dad's like, son, you know, we don't hunt on the Lord's day. And it's just always been that way. I said, yeah, you're right, Dad. And, you know, because there's something special about the Lord's day. It's just something special. And then you can do what you want to. That's between you and God. But I'm thankful that He taught me that. And I'm thankful that it's been instilled in our heart. And I've tried to teach it to my kids. It's not for anything else. Amen. We play baseball. Of course, as they get better, and here they go, they want to play back. Man, it's a tournament. Man, this is you got to be there. I'm sorry. We don't go on the Lord's day, man. It's the Lord's day. This isn't my day. Well, it's the only day I have off all week. I'm sorry. It's the Lord's day. Amen. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Nobody's there but John, but still he knows that it's the Lord's day. Hey, I've been times like this afternoon. We got to drive 9 hours tonight to make it. I won't be at church tonight. It grieves my heart. I'm just love to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. Amen. I love it. We're going to be here today and thankful for that. But hey, and that's good. If you get one or two or three, I can get in as much as I can on the Lord's day. Amen. We're going to listen to some on the car on the way. And if I've been out and some of y'all have been out last Sunday. Yes, my time's running together. Last Sunday we were stuck in the Frankfurt airport in Frankfurt, Germany. We were supposed to be preaching and the flight was canceled. And then we were in the airport and then we were in a hotel room right next to the airport. And what I said was Sunday morning, Valerie, what are we going to do? So we're going to have church. I mean, this is the Lord's day. So just the two of us get in our hotel room, we get our Bibles out and we have it because why? It's the Lord's day. Amen. And it's a special day. I thank God for the Lord's day. Amen. If I keep it in mind that and call it that, not just a Sunday, it's not the Sabbath, it's not even the day of rest. Amen? Now, this is the Lord's Day. Amen? This is the first day of the week, and we don't just celebrate on Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday morning, we come together, we remember what Jesus did for us, and how He got up out of that grave and gave us the victory, and we recognize that on that Lord's Day. And that's what John did. But the Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, you know that phrase, you find that in your Bible many places, in the Spirit. Look over in the book of Romans real quick, familiar verse. All you men I trust know God, and you've been saved by the grace of God, but you never know. How do we get in the Spirit? Well, the first way we get in the Spirit is we get born again. Amen? The song says, born in the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Amen? We get born again. That's what He's telling us here in Romans chapter 8. But ye are not, these folks that are saved, you're not in the flesh. Verse 9, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But ye are, He's talking about verse 8 that you can't please. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Amen. You can't get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day if you've never been in the Spirit. Amen. Never been saved by the grace of God. If the Spirit, for you to get in the Spirit's got to get in you. Amen. And that's what it means. We say, well, how do you get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Well, you get that when the Spirit's in you. Amen. The Spirit gets you in you at the point of conversion. We know that. And I believe that. I personally believe we get all of the Holy Spirit that we're going to get when we get saved. You can believe it how you want to. But sometimes I also realize that we don't yield to Him, all of us, all the time. Amen. And I believe when you fully yield to Him, the best way you know how, the more you yield to God, the more He'll fill. I do know the Bible says in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I don't think that just comes from somewhere else and adds on in. I think the Spirit that's already in you, as you yield to Him, begins to fill. I think of it like a house with and you open that back door and the wind comes into this room, but the wind will only go into this room. But if you open that door, it'll go into the next room and into the next room and the next room. And we have these doors and these places in our heart. And the more you yield to God, the more He'll feel. Amen. And that's how we get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We come yielded and prepared to worship God. And we've already spent time with God this morning. We've already prayed for the man of God. Instead of just coming here and sitting and saying, all right, let's see what he's got today. Oh, preacher didn't do very good today. Was it the preacher that didn't do good? How is it that this sister over here, she sure got a blessing, amen. And this brother over here, he's shouting the house down, and you're sitting around like, have you ever been there? I've been there. I've sat there, and folks are acting nuts around me. I'm like, what if one or two things is happening here? Either they are all nuts, amen, or I'm something's wrong with me, amen, because I ain't in on it. I don't, and I'm like, Lord, help me. Let me get what they got, or if it's or if something's going on, I don't like it, amen. I don't like it when the Lord's moving and he ain't stirring by my way. I said, something's wrong here, amen, because I want to be in the Spirit. I want to be in on what God's doing. Real quick, when you're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, number one, our verse said there, in verse 10, back in the book of Revelations, there's all kind of verses about being in the Spirit, but I'll just jump right ahead here. Oh, when you're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. When you're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you'll hear things that others won't hear. Amen. I'm talking about when you come ready and prepared. In the Spirit. You've already met with God that day. The preacher preaches the Word of God. It's amazing how he can preach and it can be exactly what you need and others can sit there unstirred and unmoved. What's the difference? They didn't come prepared. Amen. They weren't in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I asked the Lord this morning, Lord, help me to be in the Spirit on this Lord's Day. The man of God preaches the Word of God to not think, man, Brother Sheldon really needs that. Or, hey, my wife needs that. Get her, Lord. You know, Lord, help her and say, hey, Lord, what? It's me, Lord. What do I need, Lord? Help me to see you today. When you're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you'll hear things that others won't hear. It's amazing how we were talking about it yesterday, how that Brother Andrew, he could be the faithful pastor. He preaches week in and week out, and he preaches these things and teaches the Word of God, and people act like they don't even hear it. The evangelist shows up, he says the same thing, and they think it's the greatest thing they've ever heard. Man, did you hear what he preached? The preacher's thinking, man, I just preached that last week. And that's the way it goes. Maybe it's a second witness, or maybe it's that they've had enough time during revival to get right with God and get closer to God, that now they can hear from God. Amen? But we blow in on Sunday morning, now they're, you know, out of harmony in the home and out of in a mess and trouble and fussing and fighting, and we show up to church at the last minute. And, you know, here we are this morning with us. I mean, I did spend the time with the Lord this morning, but we're trying to check out of the hotel, get everybody ready, get all the suitcases in that van. And if you could look at our suitcases and look in that van, you'd know I just did a miracle today. Amen? And you know what? And then here we slide in here. It's 9:40, you know, time for church. It's hard, isn't it? Catching a breath. I understand. I live in the real world like you do. We work. We play. We stay up. We do all these things. We're busy. And now it's time for Sunday, and we got to switch gears. But that's not the way it ought to be. Amen. In the Spirit on the Lord's Day, but it's also good to be in the Spirit on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And when we walk in the Spirit, right? Galatians said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh?" We know that. We know the Bible says this, "I say then, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It's the job as a Christian man to try to yield to God and to walk in the Spirit every day. But when we come prepared like that on a Sunday morning, the man of God preaches the Word of God, man, it's a blessing, isn't it? Hey, I just know in our church, I love my dad, he's my pastor. And some days, man, we're hooked up. And it's, man, that's great. And some days I'm just, you know, I'm listening. I've been listening to him for 40 years, right? And everybody else says, "Man, that was the greatest message." Of course, you know, he's, "What do you think?" "Oh, yeah, that was good, Dad." "What was it? What was the difference?" "The difference was me, amen. It was my heart, amen." I don't know about you, but I always go to me first, amen. You know, it's easy to say, "Well, maybe the preacher was off, or maybe this one happened." But I always say, "Lord, what about it? What about me? Is it me?" You know, because look, I've been in some dead services, all right? I've been in some dead churches. I mean, we've been there, and I preached some dead messages, no doubt. And God helped me, but sometimes it is us, sometimes it isn't. But I got to start home first. Say, "All right, Lord, is it something in me here? Or is it a problem? Is it sin here? I don't know." But I'm talking about John. I recognize that John's sitting here on this Lord's Day. He's in the Spirit, and I know there's a lot of things going on here. But John was able to hear some things that others wouldn't hear. Amen. I want to hear from God today. Amen. I want to hear from God. Not only did John hear things that others wouldn't hear because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Look at verse number 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And beholding, turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a two-edged, sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Not only when you're on the Spirit on the Lord's Day will you hear things that others won't hear, but you'll see things that others won't see. Amen. Don't you want to see God today? Amen. Don't you want to come different? You know, I thank God for faithfulness, and I thank God for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just being in the house of God. But you know, some of those ordinary services sure have been extraordinary in my life. Amen. And what made the difference? I think about that song that Miss Clardy wrote. The difference was when God was in it. Amen. And just a regular old Sunday. Here we are again at the White Oak Independent Baptist Church. But man, if God were to come here today, if we were to get in tune with God and we were to see Him this morning, were you able to catch a glimpse like John caught of God Himself, standing God Himself and there in His glory, what a difference it would make in our lives. Amen. Not see the man of God. I'm talking about thank God for the man of God, but he's just a vessel. But as the man of God, the pastor standing and preaching the Word of God, God takes you in the Spirit to the third heaven and gives you a glimpse of God and His glory and gives you a glimpse of Him who loved you and washed you with His own precious blood. Amen. That's what John saw. And when you're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you'll see things that others won't see. I mean, it's amazing. I tell you, just like the other, you look in the service and some getting it and some don't. What happened? Some came prepared. Amen. Jesus got ready to feed the 5,000. One lad was prepared. He had an offering for Jesus. We come in on Sunday morning, and who's prepared? That's who's going to get the blessing. That's who's going to hear from God. That's who's going to see God. And I thank God He loves us, and sometimes in spite of ourselves, He'll still give us a glimpse, and He'll still draw us. And sometimes it takes a couple songs, and sometimes that's why I thank God for good music, for a good song leader, lead those hymns. What are they about? They're getting our heart ready. They're trying to help us get in that Spirit so that we can hear from the Word of God. So why? So we can hear things that others won't hear.
And we can see things that others won't see. Verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know, that's what happens. That's the proper response when you get a glimpse of God. Amen. I love a shout or out service, but you know when the presence of God blows in and everybody's on their face? That's when lives get changed. Amen. I look back to the life-changing services in my life. We weren't running the aisles. And hey, I'll run the aisle with you. Amen. But I'm talking about those were the days when the Lord made a difference in my heart and life. When I was afraid to look up because I thought I might see God. Amen. And I knew I didn't want Him to look at me as dirty as I was. I was just like that song, I was just unclean. And God was still willing to come and meet with me. And that's what John did. That's what Isaiah did, didn't he? He fell on his face before God. But you know what? I like that next verse. And He laid His right hand upon me. When you're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you'll hear things others won't hear. You'll see things that others won't see. You'll feel things that others won't feel. Amen. John got the touch of God that day. Amen. Because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. How many services have I sat through? I can't count. Amen. And how many have sat and listened and sat here preaching? How many have I preached or how many have we sung in? A lot of them. And I got to answer to God for a whole lot. Amen. So do you men that have preached and stood behind the pulpit. Last week I thought about it. Standing there with 100, the biggest day we had 115 kids. We had 143 different little Romanian Orthodox kids that come through that never heard the gospel. You know, and I'd answer to God for that. Amen. I might be the only gospel, not me, but that's who God put there that day. Maybe the only gospel witness that they ever get. And you expect the preacher to show up in the Spirit. Amen. You expect that Brother Andrew is going to be here ready. That he's going to be prayed up and prepared. And on Saturday night when everybody else is at the ball game and everybody else is out having a good time, that he's going to be there in his office. Or Brother Doug and I talked about it. Many of you guys, Brother Charles, different ones of pastor. I spent many a Saturday nights not sleeping, getting ready, thinking about what the Lord had on my heart the next morning, chewing on that thing. And I invite my dad, you know, Dad, hey, you want to go do something? He's, man, son, you know, I'd love to, but I can't do it. Why? Because he's got a burden and something on his heart. He's trying to get. It's not, you know, hey, those of y'all that know this know what I'm talking about. Sometimes God's not really as much interested in preparing the message as he is preparing the man. Amen. So it takes you 5 or 6 hours to get that message ready. No, it don't take that long. Usually the Lord gives you that pretty quick. It takes that 5 or 6 hours for me to get me right. Amen. For me to get right with God in a place where I can hear him. And maybe it takes 5 or 6 days. Who knows? It's just about God, because God's interested in men. Amen. He's got the message. The message is his, right? And it's just like delivering the mail. He's going to hand you this envelope and you're going to, hey, you take this and hand it to the people. All right. That's my job. But it's just to say God said this. You know, I can spend 3 days, nothing wrong. You should study and prepare and write your sermon and all that. But God help me, I don't want to preach a sermon. I want to preach a message. Amen? I want to preach something from God. And I want to be in a shape, in the Spirit, that I can deliver that with passion and with the touch of God on it. Amen? But yeah, if we want that, we expect that out of our preachers, but what don't we expect out of ourselves? Amen? Hey, I want to be here on the Lord's Day. If I'm just sitting on the pew and I'm just supporting my dad, my pastor, and I'm just leading the singing or whatever I'm doing in my church, hey, I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Hey, I want to take the offering in the Spirit. I want to sing the songs in the Spirit. I want to pass out the bulletins of the usher in the Spirit of God. Because what? If you're not in the Spirit, you can't please God. Amen? But when you get here, man, and we talked about it. All my mind's rolling of all these things we've talked about. I've enjoyed the fellowship this week. And you know, sometimes it seems like the church is in a season of blessing. Sometimes things are, you know, they're all good. They're good, but it's just not like it was. We've all been there. Our church sometimes, here lately at Bethany, we've had some days that we're just going to church, it seemed like, you know. Sometimes we're just there. And I think, man, we just need that breath. We just need that breeze from another country to blow in here. And then you think, God, would you do it? And God, would you do this? And would you meet among us? And God said, won't you just start with you? Amen. Why don't you just get home and get on your knees and you get full of the Spirit of God. And you yield yourself to God. And you get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And you come in here and go to church and worship me. And if you're the only one saying amen, you say amen. If you're the only one praising God, you praise God. And you support the man of God. And hey, I tell you what, I might let you hear some things that others won't hear. And I might let you see some things that others won't see. And I might let you feel some things that others won't feel. I might put a touch of God on your life. I've asked God over and over as our family to use us to don't make us good. You know,
Brother David Wood, he always says it real well about our family. He says, these aren't professionals. I said, well, thank you, Brother David. But we're not professionals. Thank God. Amen. I don't want to be a professional. I'll tell you a little personal thing. After we made that dumb CD back there, thank God for it. But we spent 50-something hours. We spent all week, day and night, making that dumb thing. And thank God for it. But it was a lot of work. But we tweaked and corrected and you know, inspected every note. And they turned that thing. And, man, I wish I could hear that auto-tune stuff around in my pocket. I mean, that thing will put you right on pitch. And somebody said, man, I didn't know you could sing that good on that CD. I said, I can't. But that machine can do it for you. But I'll tell you this. I'll give you a little inside baseball behind the curtain. There's one little phrase that John had to sing, I think, 3 times. And he hit it 1 time. The other two he didn't. The guy said, ain't no problem. Cut, paste, put it all together. It sounds like you sing it all there. Well, it's not real. Amen. But I say this to say, after we got done doing that, we had picked this music apart and everything's got to be right. We'll go to the next week to a church to sing. And here we are, and we're trying to make sure we get everything just right and every note. And we sang the first night, it was dead as a hammer. Right? I said, this ain't working, folks. Amen. This is not. God ain't in this. And I think we went to music camp after that. We had 2 weeks of just all about being on perfect. And I want to be perfect. I want to be prepared as much as I can. But what I'm saying, it was all about the music. And it was all about getting it just right. It was all about making sure your note was right. And what about this intro? Does this go together? And finally I said, hold on. Something's missing here. Amen. And what's missing is the Spirit and the touch of God. If we don't have that, we're not that good. Amen. If we're not good enough, they don't want us in Nashville. And I don't want to be there. But they sure don't want to. It's not going to do anything for you to just hear us sing. So I said, we were at a church up in Indiana. I remember, I said, all right, kids, Valerie and kids, let's get on the altar. There was nobody there. We were practicing. I said, let's just get on the altar. We just been asking God, have you touched it? We got to be full of the Spirit of God. If we don't have that, we don't have anything to offer. Amen. I think about, I appreciate at youth camp, about that man that, the Bible said his friend came to him at night and he had nothing to set before him. So this friend, he went over to his, the prayer of importunity, right? He went over to his neighbor's house, to his friend's house. He began to beg him, hey, give me 3 loaves. He said, because I have a friend that's coming his journey and I have nothing to set before him. So I've been crying to the Lord. Lord, I've got some friends here that need you and I don't have nothing to set before him. I don't have nothing to give him. Our music isn't that great and we're not that talented. But oh God, if you would give us something, if you would give us a touch from on high, it's something that we could give to be a blessing. And I tell you, the Lord, I told him, I said, put down the instruments, don't play the guitar, don't play none of it. Play the piano, get a microphone, just stand up here tonight and sing for God. Amen. And it's amazing, things switched gears. And it, not glory to us, but glory to God. I realized that something was missing. Amen. And once you've ever felt Him, amen, you can sure tell when it's missing. Amen. I told somebody the other day, they were talking about how good a service was, and I don't mean to be critical. And how this and that. I said, but you know, kind of once you've seen the mountains, it's kind of be hard to be impressed with the hills, you know. And you know, once you've tasted and seen the Lord, He is good. Once you've seen the real thing, amen. I appreciate the Sam's Cola, but once I've had the real thing, amen, I don't want to drink that mess over there, amen. I don't want to drink from another fountain. I don't want that emotional, worked up, contemporary garbage that they're calling music, that false worship of another Jesus and another spirit. Because I've seen the real thing, amen. I've had the Holy Ghost of God run up and down my backbone and fill my heart and life. And I've seen God bless and move. And we couldn't even get a note right. And I've seen people weep their way to the altar and people cry and be saved by the grace of God. And not that we did anything, but God just let us be a little channel for Him to flow through. And what was it? It was all Him. It wasn't us. Amen. The difference was being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Here we are, this Lord's Day. God help us. This Lord's Day and every day to find ourselves in the Spirit before we get to the house of God. Amen. Don't expect Brother Andrew to preach it in. He's going to do it. He's going to get a hold of God. Brother Doug this morning, he's searched and asked God what to do. How about me? Me as man. Let's be men. Stand on our own 2 feet. Me and my house. By God's grace, we're going to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Let's pray. Father, I love You. I thank You for the time. Thank You for the men. Lord, I do thank You that there is a Holy Ghost of God, a Spirit of God that indwells us at salvation and can fill us, Lord. And can work through us to be a blessing to those around us, Father. Lord, I'm thankful for every service that I've been to, Lord, where the Holy Ghost of God has manifested His presence, Lord. Every time when I've been in my little office at home and opened that Bible, and You've blowed by and come and met with me, Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I thank You didn't leave us comfortless, Lord. You sent somebody in the form of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, Lord, and to comfort us and to give us the assurance of our very salvation. Lord, I pray you'd help us as men to find that place near you, Lord, that place of fullness of the Spirit of God. So when we come to the house of God, Lord, we'll truly meet with you. And Lord, it'll be a blessing to us, to our families, and to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.